The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state, and if you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of this program, too. This month, we take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of July and August 2019 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Let's begin the program with a book that is entitled The Feral Detective by Jonathan Lethem. This is a review by Joe Hartlob. Jonathan Lethem never fails to surprise, please, and astound. His novels straddle genres and create their own, combining elements of mystery, science fiction, and what is known as so-called serious fiction that challenges, puzzles, and makes demands while requiring full attention, regardless of the subject matter. Well, this ranges from the speculative fiction of As She Climbed Across the Table, where love meets quantum physics, to his star turn on the revival of Steve Gerber's Omega, the Unknown, for Marvel Comics. Now that brings us to Lethem's newly published novel, The Feral Detective, where once again he exceeds the expectations he has previously created with a mildly flawed masterpiece. But there is a problem with this book, says the reviewer. It lies with the narrator, Phoebe Siegler, who comes off as a whiner, albeit with a noble cause, of transcontinental proportions. Little escapes her scattershot complaints, whether it be election results or the lack of availability of coffee in the middle of the Mojave Desert. I kept finding myself reaching for a mute button that wasn't there. It's unfortunate because Phoebe is the conduit through which we interestingly and plausibly find Charles Heist, the feral detective of this otherwise wonderful and riveting piece. Heist is indeed enigmatic, a will-o'-the-wisp gumshoe who is rough-edged, grimy, and appealing. Lethem has created one of those books in which the reader stops frequently and asks, how did he come up with that? Well, Phoebe, a New Yorker, is not without her positive attributes, one of which is loyalty. Arabella Swatos, the daughter of her best friend, Rosalind, disappears gradually and then suddenly from college in Oregon. It's one of those small private enclaves that are perpetual motion machines for the dispensing of useless degrees, and a dropout is not exactly unusual. There are hints as to where Arabella may have gone, so Phoebe travels to Los Angeles to track down the young woman. The police, alas, are not much interested. Arabella may be gone, but she is of age. There's no indication that foul play is involved, and it's not against the law for an adult to disappear of their own free will. With her mission in dire straits, Phoebe receives a referral from a social worker and finds herself walking up a flight of stairs to the second story of a strip mall to retain one of the strangest private investigators that she or any reader would be likely to encounter, and this would be Heist. Their meeting is a quietly unsettling tableau that sets the tone for the rest of the book, which reads like a mashup of Jerzy Kosinski, Thomas Pynchon, and Carlos Castaneda, with an occasional contribution from Joan Gideon, Heist is taciturn, not given to clever turns of phrase or ostentatious displays of knowledge at the drop of a fedora. He is quietly competent, and dangerously so. It is not revealing too much to say that Heist assists Phoebe in locating and recovering Arabella, but at great personal jeopardy to himself. However, once Phoebe has reunited mother and daughter in New York, she flies back across the country to embark upon her own rescue of Heist, with whom she has become physically and emotionally involved. There are nightmarish vignettes throughout all of this, scenes and dialogue that make the book and its protagonist, the unfortunately all too often absent Heist, one of a kind. Heist is indeed enigmatic, a will-o'-the-wisp gumshoe who is rough-edged, grimy, and appealing. Lethem has created one of those books in which the reader stops and frequently asks, how did he come up with that? One has to wonder if the characters and events encountered in The Feral Detective have real-world models, or are they products of Lethem's considerable imagination? Perhaps the answer is both. Regardless, I'd like to see much more of Heist in the future, so says reviewer Joe Hartlob when he wrote that review in November of last year. Once again, the name of that book, and it was the most popular in the past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind, is The Feral Detective by Jonathan Lethem. Now we'll turn to our next book. It's a good one. It's called Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog. And this is by the very funny and entertaining writer Dave Barry. Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and best-selling author of Dave Barry Turns 40 now shows how to age gracefully, taking cues from his beloved and highly intelligent dog, Lucy. Here's the story. Faced with the obstacles and challenges of life after middle age, Dave Barry turns to his best dog, Lucy, to learn how to live his best life. From make new friends, an unfortunate fail when he can't overcome his dislike for mankind, to don't stop having fun, validating his longtime membership in a marching unit that performs in parades, and even Obama's inauguration, Dave navigates his later years with good humor and grace. Lucy teaches Dave how to live in the present, how to let go of daily grievances, and how to feel good in your own skin. The lessons are drawn from Dave's routine humiliations and stream of consciousness accounts of the absurdities of daily life, which will leave you heaving with laughter and recognition. Laugh out loud, hilarious, whether he's trying to pay attention to the people you love, even when your brain is not listening, or deciding to let go of your anger. Dave Barry's Lessons from Lucy is a witty and wise guide to joyous living. And again, the name of the book is Lessons from Lucy, The Simple Joys of an Old Happy Dog, written by a very, very funny man, Dave Barry. Next, a book that's been popular for a couple of months at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and is extremely well known, and this is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. I'm going to read a review here by Dunja Bonacci Skenderovich that was actually done in August of last year. Here's the plot for this story. Kia is just 6 years old when her mother leaves, never to return. Her father is a mean drunk and a gambler who regularly beats her mother and sometimes inflicts similar abuse on her and her four brothers and sisters. Soon after their mother's departure, her three older siblings disappear. Then one day, her brother, whom she loves dearly, also decides to leave. So Kia is left alone with her father, who, when he isn't consuming alcohol, takes her fishing and teaches her how to steer a boat. Yet that soon changes as he becomes violent and starts drinking again, and one day he leaves and doesn't return. So when she is just 10 years old, Kia is left all alone in the marsh. She learns fairly quickly how to take care of herself, but her life is a hard, lonesome, and sad one. All this time, Kia longs for human interaction. She is fortunate enough to befriend local gas seller Jumpin' and his wife Mabel, along with a boy named Tate, who teaches her to read, write, and count. Tate has opened up a whole new world to Kia, and she starts to record the wildlife of the marsh. Nonetheless, for residents of Barkley Cove, a small town on the North Carolina coast, Kia is just a marsh girl. Thus, when Chase Andrews, a young local, is found dead, Kia is the first and only suspect. What Owens has done is pure magic, the reviewer says. She has managed to write a story that has resonated with me and that I will remember for a very long time. Where the Crawdads Sing has it all, beautiful characters, a wonderful plot, and magnificent descriptions, and provides in-depth insight into the marsh's flora and fauna. Author Delia Owens is also masterful at describing life in the small town, whose citizens are highly distrustful of those who live on its outskirts, and provides a fine critique of how easily people jump to conclusions. Although the novel contains elements that I'm not very fond of, a child who is abandoned and rejected, detailed descriptions of nature, a non-linear narrative, the story goes back and forth between 1952 and 1970, describing Kia's life from her childhood to her early 20s, it made me cry and turned out to be a fantastic read. While wiping away my tears, I was frantically turning pages to find out what would happen next and if Kia would finally get her happy ending. What Owens has done is pure magic. She has managed to write a story that resonated with me, the reviewer, and I will remember for a very long time. It is so obvious that she cares deeply for both Kia and nature. The connection between this beautiful girl and the marsh in which she lives is palpable. Where the Crawdads Sing is absolutely worth reading, and I give it my highest possible recommendation. That was from the reviewer, Dunja Bonacci Skenderovich, and that was written last year, and I have to put a personal footnote in here. I read this book myself a little bit earlier this year, and it really was one of the best books that I've read this year. I think you'll like it. It's called Where the Crawdads Sing, by Delia Owens. Next, let's look at a book called The Beckett List, a Blackberry Farm story, and it's by Adele Griffin. Here's the plot. Adventure and discover with the bold and intrepid Beckett Branch. When her family's move from city to a country farm means some big changes. Everything is changing for Beckett Branch. From subways to sidewalks to safety rules, Beckett is a city kid, born and raised. Now the Branch family is trading urban bustle for big green fields and moving to Grand's Farm, where Beckett has to make sense of new routines from feeding animals to baling hay. And as much as Beckett loves to yell, "Beautiful alert," there's a lot about the countryside that is just plain odd. But Beckett is ready to put her own spin on country life, whether selling her mouth-puckering lemonade, feeding hostile hens, or trying to make a best friend of her new neighbor, Frida Franca. Beckett is determined to use her city smarts to get a grip on farm living. Laugh and learn with Beckett as she mucks through the messy, exuberant human experience of change she didn't ask for, in a story that sparkles with quirky characters and lasting connections. That one is called The Beckett List, a Blackberry Farm story by Adele Griffin. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today. Here's another good one, this time from the very, very popular writer James Patterson. It's called The 18th Abduction by James Patterson. Detective Lindsay Boxer's investigation into the disappearance of three teachers quickly escalates from missing persons to murder in the newest women's murder club thriller. For a trio of colleagues, an innocent night out after class ends in a deadly torture session. They vanish without a clue until a body turns up. With the safety of San Francisco's entire school system at stake, Lindsay has never been under more pressure. As the chief of police and the press clamor for an arrest in the school night case, Lindsay turns to her best friend, investigative journalist Cindy Thomas. Together, Lindsay and Cindy take a new approach to the case, and unexpected facts about the victims leave them stunned. While Lindsay is engrossed in her investigation, her husband, Joe Molinari, meets an Eastern European woman who claims to have seen a notorious war criminal, long presumed dead, from her home country. Before Lindsay can verify the woman's statement, Joe's mystery informant joins the ranks of the missing women. Lindsay, Joe, and the entire Women's Murder Club must pull together to protect their city and one another, not from a ghost, but from a true monster. Again, this is a book called The 18th Abduction by James Patterson. Next, we'll take a look at a book by Sarah Blake, and this one is entitled The Guest Book. A Lifetime of Secrets, A History Untold. No, it's a simple word uttered on a summer porch in 1936, and it will haunt Kitty Milton for the rest of her life. Kitty and her husband, Ogden, are both from families considered the backbone of the country, but this refusal will come to Kitty's defining moment, and its consequences will ripple through the Milton family for generations. For while they summer on their island in Maine, anchored as they are to the way things have always been, the winds of change are beginning to stir. In 1959, the New York City, two strangers enter the Milton circle. One captures the attention of Kitty's daughter, while the other makes each of them question what the family stands for. This new generation insists the times are changing, and in one night, everything does. So much so that in the present day, the third generation of Miltons doesn't have enough money to keep the island in Maine. Evie Milton's mother has just died, and as Evie digs into her mother's and grandparents' history, what she finds is a story as unsettling as it is inescapable, the story that threatens the foundation of the Milton family myth. Moving through three generations and back and forth in time, The Guest Book asks how we remember and on what we choose to forget. It shows the untold secrets we inherit and pass on, unknowingly echoing our parents and our grandparents. Sarah Blake's triumphant novel tells the story of a family and a country that buries its past in quiet until the present calls forth a reckoning. Sounds very mysterious, and you don't get a lot of information from that summary, I will admit, but it sounds like a good book, and Sarah Blake is a very interesting writer. It was one of the most popular books this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. I think you'll like it. It's called The Guest Book, and it's by Sarah Blake. You know, most of the books that I read on this program are fiction. There are some great stories about murder and romance and war and just about every other condition of human life. But most of them are fiction. Here's one that was extremely popular last month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind, and it's a nonfiction book written more than 70 years ago by a name you'll recognize, I'm sure. This is a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. and it's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. One of the most important theologians of the 20th century illuminates the relationship between ourselves and the teachings of Jesus. What can the call to discipleship, the adherence to the word of Jesus, mean today to the businessman, the soldier, the laborer, or the aristocrat? What did Jesus mean to say to us? What is his will for us today? Drawing on the Sermon on the Mount, Dietrich Bonhoeffer answers these timeless questions by providing a seminal reading of the dichotomy between cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace, Bonhoeffer wrote, is the grace we bestow on ourselves, grace without discipleship. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the girl which must be asked for, the door at which a man must know. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. The cost of discipleship is a compelling statement of the demands of sacrifice and ethical consistency from a man whose life and thought were exemplary articulations of a new type of leadership inspired by the gospel and imbued with the spirit of Christian humanism and a creative sense of civic duty. It's called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And just a personal note here. I've read his biography and a couple of other books by Bonhoeffer. And, whether you are a person of faith or a person who questions a lot of things, just being a human being is all that's needed for you to appreciate this book. I think you'll like it. It was one of the most popular ones at the North Carolina Library last month. The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now back to fiction. Let's take a look at a book called The Great Pretenders by Laura Kalpakian. The daughter of Hollywood royalty Roxanne Granville is used to getting what she wants, even if she has to break the rules. But after a falling out with her grandfather, a powerful movie mogul, she has to face life on her own for the first time. Roxanne forges a career unique for women in the 1950s, becoming an agent for hungry young screenwriters, as she struggles to be taken seriously by the men who rule Hollywood and who often assume that sexual favors are just a part of doing business. When she sells a script by a blacklisted writer under the name of a willing frontman, more exile writers seek her help. Roxanne wades into a world murky with duplicity and deception, and she can't afford any more risks. Then she meets Terrence Dexter, a compelling African-American journalist unlike anyone she's ever known. Roxanne again breaks the rules and is quickly swept up in a passionate relationship with very real dangers that could destroy everything she has carefully built. Roxanne Granville is a woman who bravely defies convention. She won't let men make all the rules and won't let skin color determine whom she can love. The Great Pretenders is a riveting, emotional novel that resonates in today's world and reminds us that some things are worth fighting for. Again, the book is called The Great Pretenders, and the author is Laura Kalpakian. That's Kalpakian, K-A-L-P-A-K-I-A-N. And here is yet another book that is nonfiction that was very popular this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. It's called A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II, and it's by Sonia Purnell. NPR, by the way, calls this a compelling biography of a masterful spy and a reminder of what can be done with a few brave people and a little resistance. The never-before-told story of Virginia Hall, the American spy who changed the course of World War II, and this is from the author of Clementine. In 1942, the Gestapo sent out an urgent transmission. She is the most dangerous of all Allied spies. We must find and destroy her. The target in their sights was Virginia Hall, a Baltimore socialite who talked her way into Special Operations Executive, the spy organization dubbed Winston Churchill's Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. She became the first Allied woman deployed behind enemy lines and, despite her prosthetic leg, helped to light the flame of the French resistance, revolutionizing secret warfare as we know it. Virginia establishes vast spy networks throughout France, called Weapons and Explosives Down from the Skies, and became a linchpin for the resistance. Even as her face covered wanted posters and a bounty was placed on her head, Virginia refused order after order to evacuate. She finally escaped through a death-defying hike over the Pyrenees into Spain, her cover blown. But she plunged back in, adamant that she had more lives to save, and led a victorious guerrilla campaign liberating swaths of France from the Nazis after D-Day. Based on new and extensive research, Sonia Purnell has for the first time uncovered the full secret life of Virginia Hall, an astounding and inspiring story of heroism, spycraft, resistance, and personal triumph over shocking adversity. A Woman of No Importance is the breathtaking story of how one woman's fierce persistence helped win the war. Again, the book is called A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II. And that was by Sonia Purnell. I have time to squeeze in one more book that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Hearts in Harmony by Beth Wiseman. Music is forbidden in their Amish communities. He's a genius on the piano. She sings. Their love for music brings them together, but it could be what tears them apart. The first novel in a new Amish Journeys series by best-selling author Beth Wiseman, Hearts in Harmony, explores how far the heart will travel for the melody of love. Musical prodigy Levi Shetler hasn't touched a piano since he secretly played one many years ago. His strict Amish community forbids instruments or singing of any music not in their approved songbook. Levi asks God often why music tempts him and when playing an instrument isn't allowed in the world. One person knows Levi's secrets, Mary Hershberger, the girl who promised years ago to keep his secret. Mary comes from a more liberal district than Levi, but she's facing family troubles of her own. The mutual care for her aging Englisher, Adeline, reunites Mary and Levi as young adults. They realize that despite their differences, they have a shared love of music and a shared confusion about whether their talents are God-given gifts or temptations luring them into the English world. It's called Hearts in Harmony by Beth Wiseman. And that's all for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind. Or you can call toll-free at 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind. It's that wonderful organization that sponsors this program each month. This program is intended for print and visually handicapped audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncrreadingservice.org. So long until next time.